Turn the air conditioner on?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Customs. Newark. Have to go through customs. I'm from New Jersey. Yeah. We're still trying to leave.
You need a passport to get out of New Jersey.
Is that even the country?
Is that a slice? Where are you going to Newark?
Is that a slice? Who's going to take your place while you're on? Meeting with a publisher while I'm up there. After I saw Breach, I knew what I was meant to do. You got your manuscript ready, huh?
Are you going to sit down, Sue? Are you just going to wander around? Romans 3. To go do my nebulizer thingy. I can't breathe.
Because the air was off.
Humidity, too.
Thick air. But thick, very thick.
We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about propitiation and remission and your own redemption and all the tricks you do to get redeem yourself. Anybody have any confessions? Anybody see anything yesterday?
Still trying to call people out on it.
I haven't had a word hit me as hard as propitiation. I've never given a second thought to that word, but that just opened the door.
What does it mean?
The one who sacrificed for sin.
Well, it means, in the classic Greek, it meant somebody, what you do to appease, to quiet the whatever.
Like blood on the doorpost.
It's literally means, it's hilasterion. Well, you're right. It means.
Yeah. It's just powerful when it hits you. Otherwise, just a word and it slides through.
Well, that's the problem with translating English and all that, is because the words, you just repeat them over and over again, or you sing them in a song and you never know what they mean. All right. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And we think, okay, well, that means my sins are covered, period. No, it means that every time you make an offering to anybody or anything, or any time you try to move around to accomplish an end, then you're counting the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. So you've got to come to the conclusion that anything but the abandonment of self can only lead you into this mystery, this trap of this of self. Well, we spent enough time on it. You're not going to talk about it, so we're going to go on. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, as opposed to your and his right righteousness, you need to be right, Tom. And it's constant, because you've been raised as a child to need to be right. You defend it to the death, no matter what it is. whether it's right about a political ideal or right about a sports figure or right about a game or right about your purpose or right, you have to be right. And we don't understand how pervasive this is in our being. And every time that you have to be right, you are counting, again, the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing, because you are so special that his sacrifice wasn't enough for you. Don't act like you're listening. Just turn the damn thing off. Do what? No, because you were playing with that and pretending you were listening.
I saw a fork in the road here a second ago where you, like talking about Tom and being right. It's like when you hear that, you can either say, well, yeah, that's true, so I'm going to stop trying to be right all the time. You go about trying to change your ways, or you confess it as sin and abandon yourself, and then the blood of the covenant is in effect. Or you become religious and try to change your own behavior. It's always so simple.
Or what you do more often is you stop saying what's going on, and then you're just right in your mind. And that's when you have all the fights in your mind with certain people.
Right, Tom?
No, right, Harry? Right, Gary? No, the whole idea, you got to get this into your being, that God doesn't care what your outward manifestation is. He cares what religion is going on inside of you. And so when you argue and play games in your mind and you do all this stuff and It's you got to see that this is what's going to kill you. Well, I can't say it because somebody will yell at me. Well, which would you rather have? Remember, that's why from the very beginning we've said over and over again that you must conduct your life as if the next second were the judgment seat. Otherwise, there's no fear of God because you've got time. Oh, I'll do that later. All right. To declare, I say at this time, his rightness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So Christ is your only rightness. Everything else is time dependent. Every other opinion you have is time and place dependent. So therefore it can't be truth. So you're trying to be right about something that isn't true in the first place. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's never going to teach you the way or show you the way. He's not going to teach you the truth, and he's not going to give you life, because he is all those things. But every time you need to be right, then what have you done? Then you are not confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are returning to the darkness or the twilight of this world. All right. In verse 27, where is then the boasting? Or where is the boasting then? Now this is where we get. This will cut you in little pieces. Where is the boasting? How much time, what percentage of your life have you spent boasting to yourself? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Gary? You know what I mean? How much time? Do you understand what we do? That's how the only way you can live with yourself is because you have to convince yourself you're right and someone else is wrong. Otherwise, you couldn't exist.
I've done it. I got a...
Thank you, Dad.
Thanks, Jeff.
For Father's Day, you know, and it said old guy rules from the back. It says you're a legend in your own mind.
Somebody else saw it.
Thought.
Boasting is what our mind does. You're smarter than the average whatever. I used to think that I was the smartest thing in the universe. My only rule was rules are for when brains run out. And then the brains ran out.
Now you need some rules.
No, now I need him. So how do you boast, Harry?
It's when you support yourself.
Right.
I could do it if I really wanted to. That son of a bitch got in my way. If only.
Right.
I know what I'm talking about. I don't have to put up with this, goddammit.
Yeah, it's not necessarily saying I'm right about something.
Oh, no. Boasting is...
seeing wrong about everything else, and so that...
And resenting the situation, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have put up with this.
No. Right. And what with boasting comes entitlement. And entitlement is the basis of the American society. There's no discipline, which is the meaning of disciple. There's only entitlement. You can't get a plane ticket where you want to go, and you say, I deserve better than this. Or whatever. I mean, it could go on and on. You get it, you're standing in line, and or you're waiting, you're driving, and you start honking because somebody's in your way. That is all what this word boasting is. Somebody pulls in front of you and you cuss them out internally. It's because you're boasting. Boasting is the position that is opposite of from humility. It's the opposite of the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You remember? Kino. Where we get the word kenosis. Where we get the word, therefore, communion. Where we get the word fellowship. There cannot be fellowship. There cannot be communion. There cannot be community without every member emptying. And with the opposite of this emptied position, abandonment of self, is what? The opposite of it is boasting, entitlement, winning fights in your mind, doing all of these things that every man's mind does, and only a few admit it.
I feel like I just caught a fish. Something that's upsetting me right now is the fact that I can understand a lot of this, and I can hear it, and it finds a spot in my mind where it rests. But what I'm not emotionally seeing where I'm saying that the sacrifice wasn't sufficient, and how big that is to say that, and my mind will take and accept a lot of these words and let them be okay without the emotional realization that I'm crucifying the Son of God afresh, which is so bad, and yet emotionally it won't drop down because the evilness of my mind doesn't reject the words.
No, believe me, I know.
I just had one footnote. I found in my life, most of my life I spent either boasting or condemning, but rarely in peace.
Right. Boasting, you know, that's why boasting is just the flip side of the coin of condemning yourself. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. And once you have no condemnation of yourself, then you will stop judging others. And it's not a matter of you know, it's you can't do this. It's only that if you're not doing it, it is the tell that you're not in Him, that you've left the mercy seat. And so the only solution to anything is never trying to change. As Gary said, the only solution is ever and always. The more you see the minutest details of these things we've been talking about, the more you leave yourself, that part of yourself, behind forever, never to be picked up again. The repentance of the world is repentance that leadeth to sorrow. The repentance of God is a repentance not to be repented of. Why? Because you've seen the end of it. The only, you know, the only thing that I can describe that or tell you about that to me describes this is it takes, unless you're totally mentally ill, it takes no effort to walk away from a pile of your own feces. You will quickly flush it, or if you're out in the country, you'll walk away quickly. I mean, you watch an animal. If an animal comes across its own feces, like a princess does when she walks, or even a place where she did it, she does this maneuver where she jumps back. But if it's another dog, she's got to find out everything about that dog. That's what repentance is. It's repentance isn't, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better next time. Repentance is the abandonment of self, totally. Leaving all of you behind. And the purpose of the preaching of the cross is to go deeper and deeper and deeper inside the temple so that there are no rooms in your temple that are still dedicated to you, either positively or negatively. There's no place where well, I'm this way because my mommy beat me or my daddy yelled at me or blah, 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 blah. Because all that leads to is entitlement. So there's no there in this temple of the living God, there's no place for you to be right. And it's not, I mean, I make a joke of it with Tom, but it is not a joke. It's huge. Because to be right then is this being puffed up and internally boasting. And you're boasting before the living God. It's ludicrous. Let's go to Luke 18 real quick. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were right and despised others. That's all righteous means, is they were right. Now, if you look at modern religion, my God, all the questions they ask, are you redeemed? Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, if you haven't, then by definition, they are boasting because they've got it and you don't. And no matter how hard their argument is to discuss or to persuade in their mind to do to win that other person for Christ, what they are in truth doing is they're standing before this poor person and boasting. That's why in the scriptures, the only time you become an evangelist is that when they ask you what is the reason for your constant hope and peace. But if you're selling them, then you're boasting. You got? Can you understand this? So here's the position. Luke 18.
I like this where they set up missions and they find hungry people and they won't feed them.
Well, we do the same thing. They have to meet certain conditions before we'll have any truck with them. All of us do it. They have to have certain behavior patterns and certain mores that you have adopted as your rightness before you have any truck with them. All right. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were right and despised others. And that's all righteous means. You understand that? That they were righteous and despised others. That they were right about anything and despised others. Because that's what you're doing in your argument. You're despising the person that you're discussing it with. And you're thinking, oh, I'm just having fun with this. I'm just discussing it. No, you're not. You're trying to prove that you have a purpose in life. You're trying to redeem yourself by at the expense of another person. Got it? You're saying how much better you are than they are. And it doesn't matter whether it's about politics or sex or religion or anything else. The minute you try to talk somebody into something, or, you know, that's why the weakness of apologetics is apology. The whole idea of the apologetics ministries is to try to convince others through the use of logic that they are wrong and the person that's speaking is right. It's evil. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now you remember what a publican was? Huh?
Publican.
The same thing. You remember what a publican was? A publican was one who had mixed with Rome and was doing, whether it be tax collecting or other things, he had, in order for him to survive and his family to survive, he'd compromised the mystery in order to get along. Anybody, does it sound familiar to anybody? Any publicans in here? Anyone that isn't a publican? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as... would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now you'll be tested by the Holy Spirit in the most intimate details of your life to find out whether you're going to take a stand or not. And the minute you take a stand, you've left mercy. It doesn't matter what the stand is about. It may have absolutely nothing to do with anything that you think is the doctrine. It may have to do with something really righteous, like how your kids should behave and what they should do and how you think others should be. But the very instant that you take a stand, you've left the mercy seat. If you can hear this, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your relationships with others. Because you won't walk away from someone and then convince yourself in your mind that you have been right, and they are, you may not even say they are wrong, but the fact that you think that you're right places you off, it removes you automatically from the mercy seat. Does that communicate? Obviously, the same thing you start with. The minute you start judging another, boom. Well, you can't be on the mercy seat and judge another. It can't be done. Once you've left the mercy seat, for any reason, whether it's tempted to get something shiny thing or any reason for you to leave this mercy seat, once you've left the mercy seat, you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. And that's grace, because if he wasn't your enemy, you'd have no hope. So you earn money to put a bag in, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes. You maybe even collect a little from the holes, but then God blows on it. So you're always you seem to be always in debt, either psychically or financially or all these unfulfilled promises you've made to yourself and to others. You always walk in debt because it's the grace of God that made you not be successful in those areas, so that there would be nothing could remove you from the mercy seat. This is why I get so mad when people tell me how much God is blessing them because they're getting money and their kids are nice and everything is happy. That's not blessing. That's deception. How could you be, happy and blessed? Well, there's so much misery around you. By that definition of happy and blessed. It makes you an incredibly evil person. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humble means, you remember, it means empty yourself. So there's no position, no politics, no anything for which you take a stand on. This next issue, read of the door. Read Joe Bob's description of James Dobson teaching on the Luke 14, 26 and 27. No man cometh to the Father unless he hate his mother and father. Because it is all of us. Amen? We didn't get very far again, did we? Take it, big guy.
No, eat a hot dog with me.